And I want to read verses 8 and 9 this evening. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. And let's pray. Father, I pray your help this evening, and thank you so much for your words to us. God, grant to us wisdom, and Lord, not just the skill of wisdom, but an appetite to have it. And to pray this in Jesus' name, amen. And you may, of course, be seated. Well, it was Proverbs 12. Can you turn me down a little bit? Does it seem particularly loud?
Yes.
It was verse number 9 that really caught my attention, because although there is a complexity to Hebrew poetry, and we have delved into some of that, and quite honestly, even then, we've done it superficially because I'm not a scholar, and when I read those guys that are, I immediately fall asleep. I operate from the assumption that Proverbs are, by divine design, written to be readily understood and kind of put into, you know, bullet point form of essential truths for living. And so when I read verse number 9, it just caught my attention because, quite honestly, I had a very hard time making any sense out of it at the beginning. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. And I thought, under what imaginable scenario is it a good thing to be despised? Is having a servant such a high priority to the Lord that it is something worthy of being despised over? What in the world does it mean to honor himself? And quite honestly, to me at first glance, the only part that I really grasped without a lot of further thought and study was lacking bread. I understood that. This proverb, like many proverbs, not all proverbs, but like many proverbs, consists of 7 Hebrew words. Better is one of them. Dishonor, and actually the word is a verb there. It means to be dishonored, and servant. And then you have again honor, which is again a verb, to be honored, lacking bread. Better, dishonor, servant, honor, lacking bread. Those are the words. And the action words then are honor and dishonor, to be held in esteem, to be regarded in such a way. If you'll grant me the latitude, I want to do is read Proverbs 12, 9 to you from 3 different other versions besides our King James. The first one is the Geneva Bible. The Geneva Bible was produced in 1560. It is actually the forerunner to our King James Bible. And actually, many of the Puritans preferred it to the King James Bible for the same reason that you would probably prefer even something like the New International Version to the official Barack Obama version of the Bible. And it's, now I'm off on a tangent, but it's just hard for me to envision forwarding down the road 425 years to about the year 2450, and to have a group of independent Baptist preachers arguing that the Barack Obama version of the Bible was inspired by God. But that's where we are now. King James was not our kind of guy by any stretch of the imagination, and he authorized a Bible, and anyway. So prior to that was the Geneva Bible. The Geneva Bible has this rendition: he that is despised and is his own servant is better than he that boasteth himself and lacketh bread. And then let me read it to you from a couple of the newer translations. The New American Standard Bible says, better is he who is lightly esteemed and has a servant than he who honors himself and lacks bread. The ESV, maybe even a little more contemporary in its rendition, better, but I think it really captures the gist of the proverb, better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. And it did that just to try and help us to get a little bit of an idea there of how people have understood this proverb. What is it arguing? And in having those explanations, I think that Proverbs 12:8 is an essential part of having the story. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. So let me just take the two proverbs and make a couple of points and then make an application to it from there. Proverbs 12:8 is making the argument, I think, that wisdom is underrated by most people. That wisdom is underrated by most people. Proverbs 12:8 kind of looks out into the future. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom. And he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. And that second phrase there, shall be, is most often translated in the Old Testament this way. It came to pass. So there's definitely a looking down the road to it. In a future sense, a man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. The word commended means to shine or to praise, and when you couple it with the word Jehovah, you get the very common and familiar word hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. And so Solomon is pointing out that people who are wise have future commendation coming. That there is a great value to prudence and understanding and knowledge and discretion. In Nehemiah 8:8, the word is translated sense. They gave the sense of the word. Wisdom, again, is the skill to use God's information correctly, to value it rightly, to submit to it wholeheartedly, to obey it unquestioningly. And one of the ways that we know that wisdom is underrated by people is the fact that God spends so much of his time trying to get us to buy into the fact that wisdom is worth the effort. The first 9 chapters of the book, folks, are basically one lengthy appeal from a father to his son to get the son to see the value of wisdom. Only for us to come to the sad realization that this young man does not accept that instruction and rather gives vent to his folly. Not only to the sadness of his father, not only to his own injury, but to the detriment of the entire nation. Wisdom is underrated, folks, by the vast majority of people, and we do not default to it. We are not born wise. We are born foolish. And we'll deal with this verse in a couple of weeks. Folly is bound in the heart of a child. It is enslaved there. It is clinging tenaciously to the youngest of children determined to rule their lives. We are not natively wise. And anybody who has been a parent or anybody who has any experience, and I really am not trying to insult you, but it seems like the low point of human knowledge and intellect is embodied in adolescent boys. If you've been around teenagers, they are champions of foolish behavior. And, I mean, look, I mean, you know, again, I'm not trying to beat them up. Okay? But if armies were made up of 68-year-old men, there would be no military campaigns. We'd go, storm that beach? Are you kidding? I'm going back to the recliner and having a glass of tea. Right? You need a generation of 18-year-olds who really don't think very clearly or very well and go, oh, yeah, we'll do that. Sure, not for go. Right. Right? As a guy said in 1990 when we invaded Kuwait the first time, he was sitting right there. He was frustrated. He was a Marine reservist, and his unit wasn't deployed. And he said, they're not giving out any medals on the states. We are not natively wise. And God consumes a lot of energy trying to get us to be wise. How many times, folks, do we just do something? We act rashly. We act quickly. We make a decision, and then we go, oh, that was... Right? We even have our own proverb, act in haste, repent in leisure. We default to folly. In Ecclesiastes 9, Solomon tells the story of a city that is in trouble, and a wise man brings deliverance to the city, but nobody remembers him. Solomon reaches this conclusion. Ecclesiastes 9:16, then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. So there are lots of people who would say wisdom is a great thing. But the reality is that it is much easier to act in folly. We know it because God talks to us so much about wisdom, and we know it simply by looking at the world around us. What really gets praised, folks? What really drives people? What really gets press? People with beauty, people with fame, people with money, people with power. That's where all the attention is. And quite honestly, and unfortunately, even among believers, it is all too often the thing that drives our conduct for the future. We want money or prestige or power. But the end here is very clear. The twisted heart, that's what perverse means. The twisted heart. Twisted concerning the ways of God shall be despised. It will be held in contempt. And so Solomon begins, I think, this little couplet here by pointing out to us yet again that wisdom is underrated by the vast majority of people. And then he gives a proverb that defends the argument of verse number 8. And that would be how I would understand verse number 9. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. What do people tend to choose? Not what is the ideal, not what is the lip service, not what do they say on testimony night. What does the decision of their life oftentimes reflect that they would choose? Solomon here is very clear. If I could spin his proverb into our own proverb, Solomon is being very clear here that to have food and no honor is better than having honor and no food. If you can have one, food or honor, choose food. But the reality is that many people would not make that choice. The words that Solomon uses in verse 8 and verse number 9 are the same in English but are not the same in Hebrew. The despised of verse number 8 means to hold in contempt. So it would carry more the force of the way we would use the word despised. I despise that thing. It is repulsive to me, abhorrent to me. But that is not the same word that is despised in verse number 9. To despise in verse number 9 means not to mean to hold into contempt, but to have little value or to have no honor. It means really to be low or to be vile, so that it would read this way: he that is reviled and has a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. And again, I think the ESV captures clearly and accurately and quickly the gist of what it means to honor oneself, to promote oneself, to play the big man. What is Solomon really arguing here? I think the principle is that Solomon is pointing out exactly what Jesus will later identify. We'll look at it in just a second. Right? It is the nature of unsaved people to choose appearance over substance, to choose the temporary over the long term, the temporal over the eternal. There really are people who would rather look like something, even if it means having nothing. But that is not the position of the wise. Jesus warned about this very thing. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Now, again, in our secular world, that may just ring a little hollow to us, but I think you could easily take the conduct and translate it. Don't give to the Red Cross so that everybody knows you gave to the Red Cross. Don't do something nice for somebody and then tell everybody else that you did something nice for somebody. Don't do it for the purpose of having it known that you did it, and if you do, you've got the rewards you're going to get. Matthew 6:5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. They wanted that honor. They wanted people to think that they were wise and spiritual and godly and pious. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They wanted to be seen, that was what they get. They get nothing else. They honor themselves, they get nothing else. They have chosen that which is temporal over that which is eternal. Matthew 23:5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Look at me. I have a friend. We're still pretty good friends. We don't talk as much as we used to. We went to college together. And he told me one time, he had gotten saved when he was a young boy and gotten away from the Lord, and then the Lord got a hold of his heart. And he told me, he said, when I started going back to church, I bought the largest Bible that I could find because I believed that it would make me more spiritual, so that people could see me carry a big Bible. See, that's kind of the way we tend to be. People really do tend, right, in their conduct to really stumble at Proverbs 9. It is better to have a full pantry and to be disregarded as inconsequential in this world than to play the big guy, but really have nothing. But that is the position of wisdom, folks. That is not man's default. By default, we like to play the big man. We like to do things to call attention to ourselves. Right now, Paul addresses this very thing 7 times in the early parts of 1 Corinthians alone. He addresses the topic of the world's wisdom versus God's wisdom, culminating in what almost seems to be doublespeak in 1 Corinthians 3, that if you're going to be wise in God's sight, you're going to have to deliberately and consciously choose folly. You will have to be a fool in the eyes of the world in order to be wise in the sight of God. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Solomon is not just talking about having a servant and having food. He is talking about a way of life, a way of thinking about life. Making bad decisions for selfish, self-serving reasons for the sake of their reputation before men. And I think, folks, that we understand this, that we're all tempted, maybe tempted to different degrees, but the temptation is always there to make decisions or to be concerned about how things look. How will it look if I do this? What will it do to my reputation among people if I do this? Am I doing this just to build up my reputation before people? Does this make me look good? Do we honor ourselves? Is self-honor more than substance what drives people? For many people, the answer is yes, but for the wise, the answer is no. But again, to circle it back to verse number 8, you're going to have to be wise because it is a godly virtue that you desire, because the payoff for wisdom is in the future. I mean, you will benefit, all right? But the commendation comes later. And we're just very much prone to want the commendation now. Praise me now. Celebrate now. So here is the wisdom of the Lord. He that is despised, he that is held in low regard, but has not only food but a servant, is far better to a man who honors himself and can't even feed himself. But there are many who will choose that path. Let's pray together this evening.